Welcome to the ReHope Podcast. Before we dive into this week's message, we'd like to provide you with some helpful resources. If you'd like someone to pray for you, it would be our joy to connect with you. So please email us at prayer@rehope.co.uk. If you'd like to get connected with an online Bible read-through group from wherever you are in the world, you can email brt@rehope.co.uk and be a part of a small group of people reading through the Bible cover to cover each year. Finally, if you would like to support the work and ministry of ReHope financially, you can do so online at rehope.co.uk/giving. We pray you find this message encouraging, enlightening, and helpful. Enjoy.
Okay, it is great to be here today to speak to you guys, our community. God is doing great things here in ReHope Paisley, and it's so exciting to see you all join in this adventure. I don't know if you know this, but the last time I was here was actually 4 months ago, so it's great to be able to teach to you guys today. Before we get into the message for today, I do want to take a moment to thank you guys. Last week, we celebrated Easter together, and it was a great time together. We hit some new records. If you were here last Sunday, the atmosphere in the morning was just fantastic, and the evening worship night, for those that were able to make it, was such a significant time. I think we were all surprised on how impactful our worship night was, and for the Holy Spirit to minister, the worship was just incredible. So I do just want to say a huge thank you for everyone who is involved in any preparation and set up for our Easter program. So thank you so much. Shall we get into today's message? Yeah? Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now as we are about to dive into what you want to tell us today, what you want to equip us for the next 7 days ahead. My prayer is simple, Lord. Anything that you want to say would flow through me. Anything that I want to say that's not of you, Lord, would just gracefully fall on people's ears right now. So, Lord, I pray, soften hearts and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so my desire for each of you is to use the Word of God as an application for your lives rather than reference. I'll give you an example, right? So when Jesus says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, give him the other cheek also. So what Jesus is saying here is, hey, don't react in anger, react in love. Meet anger with love. Now, this is something that can be applied to your life. When you are at work or at home, you find yourself in a disagreement, someone says something provocative, right there is where you apply the Word of God. Instead of reacting back provocatively and causing more tension and conflict, but later on we say, well, we know that all things work good for, that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called to his purposes. No. As Christians, we don't get away with causing mess and expecting God to clean it up. We have a part to play, and we ought to play our part in a way that not only honors God, but reflects the love of Jesus. So let's see what Jesus says about the Word of God and what it looks like to apply it to our lives rather than just reference it. Let's have a look at Matthew 13, verses 3-8. And this is what Jesus says. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then we're going to look at verses 18 to 23 in the same chapter, and it's an explanation of that parable that Jesus has just given. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed that was on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. Okay. So let's establish here what Jesus is talking about, yeah? So he's talking about four different soils. We have footpath soil. We've got shallow soil with underlying rock. We've got thorny soil. And then we've got fertile soil. So before we talk about the explanation that Jesus gives about each soil, I want to explore the why with Jesus. So we know Jesus talks in parables so that those who can listen can listen. But why soil? We need to remember, Jesus was a master at communicating. So when Jesus is referring to something, there is normally some layers in that something. So why soil? Why does the master communicator decide to talk about soil? What is it with soil? What is the deal with soil? Let's have a look, yeah? And let's notice the parallels between soil and our own hearts here, right? So I discovered that soil is so much more than just dirt, yeah? As you walk across a healthy landscape, this is cool, a whole world is operating right beneath your feet. I learned that soil is medicine. Soil contains some powerful antibiotics. It contains bacteria, which helps treat complicated skin infections, bloodstream infections, bone and joint infections, and even meningitis. Soil is alive. It is not a dead substance, but a handful of healthy soil can contain more living organisms than human beings that have ever lived on Earth. Healthy soil protects plants. Soil can reverse climate change. No soil, no life. When the soil is sick, the entire web of life falls apart. Soil can grow fast. In the right conditions, several centimeters of topsoil can be grown per year. This is my last one. Soil is a natural antidepressant. There is a reason that a spot of gardening feels so good. Some types of soil bacteria help the human brain release serotonin, working similarly to many modern antidepressants. So Jesus knew about all these interesting facts when he decided to use soil in this parable, borrowing the principles of soil and applying it to our human world. So we see that Jesus uses soil to connect both elements of soil and elements of our heart together. Because that's what Jesus is talking about when he's referring to the soil. Jesus says soil, but what he's really talking about is this thing here. The condition of our hearts. In the same way that healthy soil produces healthy fruit, I tell you today, a healthy heart produces healthy actions in our lives. So let me ask you a question. Where is your heart today? As we explore the explanation of this parable, try to find where your heart would fit in these descriptions. And be honest. Listen, it's not for my benefit that you're honest. If you want to grow and be stronger in life and in your walk with Jesus, you do good by being honest. Be honest with yourself. I've found that once I'm honest with myself, that's where the real changes in life really begin. So just that we're all clear, Jesus refers to seeds. He's referring to the word of God, the Bible, yeah? So we've got that clear. So now let's explore these various soils, right? Now I would say that the four types of soil show a different response to God's teachings, yeah? People respond differently because they're at different stages of readiness. We see hardened soil, we see shallow soil, we see contaminated soil, and we see fertile soil. Okay, so remember this, right? Seed is the word of God, soil is our hearts. Let's explore the first soil. So here we go. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom of God and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes, snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So what does it mean to hear the message about the kingdom and not understand it? What does that mean? I like to ask that question when it comes to the Bible. What does that mean? Why should I just take that for granted? What does that mean? Well, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? We hear that, you know, we hear that a lot in Christian songs and teachings and books. But actually, what is it? What is the kingdom of God? What are we talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God? When Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God in the gospel, he actually speaks 126 times about the kingdom of God. So what does Jesus mean when he says, the kingdom of God is near? This is what it is, right? The kingdom of God is establishing another way of living. You ready for this? It's the fulfillment on earth of God's will. What does that mean? It's when God governs all things. It's under his governance we see God's actions, God's solutions, and God's way displayed through his people. So God's kingdom exists in heaven right now. So when the kingdom of God is established here, just so we're clear, it's not established by land, but it's established by people's actions. So when Jesus did say the kingdom of God is near, he wasn't talking about taking over the land of Israel. He was talking about taking over the hearts of the people of Israel. God's power was about to be unleashed to the people of Israel. So when you made Jesus Lord of your heart, you gave God the keys to establish the kingdom of God in your own heart, which ultimately influences your actions. So when Jesus teaches us about ways to live, when we live out those ways, in that moment, when you make that decision to deal with life situations in a way that honors Jesus, right there, the kingdom of God has been established. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty cool. Through my actions, I establish the kingdom of God. That's pretty cool. Right, so let's talk about this first soil, right? So hearing the word of God, but people don't get it, right? And as a result, the devil comes in. He dissuades and he makes the word of God more complicated than it is, or he makes it difficult to relate to. So as a result, people doubt the power of God's word because it didn't work for them. So let me give you an example. I'd mentioned this already, Romans 5:8, another translation. God loves us even when we were still sinners, yeah? So Romans 5:8, that's the seed and the soil is our hearts. And because of how we've lived our lives, we don't think we deserve to be loved. We think love is performance-based. So when someone tells us that you are loved even when you don't deserve it, to some people, that makes no sense. Undeserved love makes no sense. So the devil makes us doubt that type of love even exists. We can't relate to being loved when we don't deserve it. So we refuse to believe it. And as a result, we struggle to receive the greatest gift in life, love. Because we think we don't deserve it. But it's a kingdom principle. God actually loves us even when we don't deserve it. Okay, so that's the hardened soil. Let's have a look at the next one. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So what does this look like? Let's look at an example. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things, everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yes, great verse that gives us encouragement through the challenges of life. But when your marriage has hit a really tough spot, or you look at your bank account and there's next to nothing there, or anxiety comes in and just spirals out of control, well, suddenly the strength from Jesus doesn't feel so strong anymore. Or people say to you, God's not going to solve your problems. Then we decide to agree, and then we decide to take matters into our own hands, because we don't really think that Jesus can really help us, provide for us, or give us the strength we need to restore our marriage, or finances, or our anxiety levels. So we doubt God, and we take back control, and not much changes. So we blame God because nothing's changed. So that's the shallow soil. Let's look at the next one. The seed that fell among the thorn represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. So the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28, trusting in the Lord leads to prosperity. So you see, the third soil is more of a question of who's in control of our lives or situation. Let me hit you with some truth here. You've heard me say this before. Life will bring you challenges. The Bible does not shy away from that. There are no glamorous promises in the Bible about following Jesus prevents us from all the challenges of life. What the Bible teaches us is that it equips us for the challenges of this life. So when life is tough, or when life presents us with a huge opportunity, maybe in our careers, maybe an international promotion that comes with a lovely pay rise, and we are invited to apply Proverbs 28, we have a choice. Will I give God control over the fact that my kids are behaving in a way I've never seen before, and I don't know how to fix it? Will I trust that he'll resolve this? Will I give God control over this huge job opportunity? Will I really pray that prayer? Your will, not mine. This is tough stuff. We're talking about real life here. But remember this. Mountaintops inspire us, but valleys mature us. Can I really rely on kingdom principles to see a way out? Can I? Can I really? So that's contaminated soil. Right, last one. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 as much as have been planted, right? So I want to look at another verse to back this one up, right? Romans 8:28. I've said this already. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What does this verse mean? This is what it means, yeah? No matter what life throws at you, God gets the final say. Again, God is not in the business of preventing the challenges of life. He's in the business of using all challenges and using them to mold and shape us and grow us, whilst in the process of developing our situations miraculously for us to overcome and for us to see a whole new sight of the power of God. Now, you'll have heard me say this before. It ain't over until God's been glorified. So we truly hear this promise. We fully understand it. And instead of running from Jesus, we run to him. No matter how tough it gets, Jesus is our first port of call. We protect that trust. We protect our faith in him, refusing to allow negativity or doubt to creep in about what God can or can't do. And then, breakthrough. And again, breakthrough. And again, and again, and again. How? Because we applied the promise of God. the word of God into our hearts and into our situations. And as a result, hallelujah, breakthrough. So that's the four explanations of the soil. But I want to ask a question. Where are you today? Are you in a position where the word of God is a source of application or a source of reference? You'll hear in Christian circles this advice. You need to... What does that mean? I'll say that question again. You need to be in the word more. What does that mean? More reading? Develop my theology of the Bible? No. What it means is that you need to have more kingdom keys in your life. And the only way to have those kingdom keys is to know what those keys are so that you can apply them into your life. Do you know what the Bible says when you're struggling with bad mental health? Do you know what the Bible says when you're crippled with fear? Do you know what the Bible says when you're being unfairly treated in life? Do you know what the Bible says about loneliness? Do you know what the Bible says about money worries? Do you know what the Bible says about bereavement? Do you know what the Bible says about addiction? You need to be in the Bible more. Doesn't mean during these challenges you should be spending time in the book of Revelation. No. What it means is that you need to know what the Bible says to help you in these situations. So let's take fear as an example. The seed is Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? The soil, it's your choice. Soil one would leave you doubting that Jesus can set you free from fear. Soil two would say day one went well, but day two and onwards was a downward spiral, so I just gave up. Soil three leaves you still full of fear. And soil four would leave you running to Jesus and clenching onto the promise that Jesus is with you and will free you, trusting that Jesus will set you free from fear. Because maturing as a Christian is about everyday learning how to lean into faith and not into fear. What this means truly is you need to find out what the Jesus response is. Or to say it bluntly, you need the word. You need the Bible in your life. You really do. No functioning Christian can live without it. Now, you could be sitting here and thinking the following, I don't need the Bible, I've got Jesus in my heart. Or, I'm not smart enough. Or, I've not got time for the Bible. Or, the Bible's boring. Well, I tell you that you will never learn the character of God more than when you read the Bible. My journey with the Bible took 11 years. I got saved in 2009, and listen, I had a real fire for Jesus on the inside. I was hungry for more of Jesus, loved my worship, loved listening to the messages of all my favorite preachers, loved praying, and even in my previous career, I remember during those theater productions, I was the annoying guy in the cast who was up really early, blasting his worship time during his quiet time with Jesus. I was deep in prayer and in worship, but what I had was passion. And over those 11 years, I knew Jesus. I knew all those key verses in the Bible. And I would dip in and out of the Word for Today with Bob Gass. You guys remember Bob Gass, aye? The Word for Today. But I lacked something. What I realized was my verses per day, I was shaping my own version of who God is, only just taking one element of God's character. Because it's not enough just to read the verse of the day. If you really value your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then learning about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should be a priority. And no better way than to open your Bible and read and learn about the whole character of God. We're talking about those uncomfortable moments as well. It's like, oh, not all of it. I had tried so many times to read the Bible from Genesis onwards, and I'd get as far as the middle of Numbers and then just lose interest. I didn't get it because I didn't value it. And you know what put me off during those years? I'll be honest, right? It was the Major and Minor Prophets books. They intimidated me. But it wasn't until 2020 that I decided to really read the Bible. And I took it one book at a time. And what I was introduced with was tools, support tools, which helped build my confidence. And since 2020, what's been added about my journey with Jesus is maturity. As I've read each book and as I've learned more context about the Bible, understanding of who God really is, I began to grow as a result, and I've added more of a matureness to my awareness of God. You see, when a child doesn't get something they want, they'll scream and cry until they get what they want. But as that child grows older and realizes that they can't get something because, well, maybe the parents don't have enough money, that same child won't cry and scream because they understand the why and they respect the decision. They value the understanding. And it's the same of God. If you don't read the Bible, it's very easy to say, why does God do this and why does God do that? But as you read the Bible, your perspective matures to understanding the heart behind God's actions. And because you have a deeper understanding of who God is, the whys naturally decrease. But I get it. Hey, took me 11 years. But once you get that revelation of the significance of the Bible, it's a game changer. You bring maturity and understanding into your relationship with Jesus, as well as a passion for him. But ultimately, we need a change of heart in order to see God's word. So have a look at your situation, because everybody's got a situation. What does the Bible say about it? What does Jesus say about it? Do you believe it? Come on. Do you really? Hey, be honest. Did you know that we determine how much we want to see the power of God in our lives? It's actually based on us, on how much control we will give into God's hands. What do you need to address to allow God more control of your life? Because I tell you, the God I know only knows one outcome. That is victory. So what stops you from handing over control? What will it take you to believe the power of God and the power of the kingdom keys in your life? Do you believe there is power in the kingdom keys in the first place? Well, here's my final question. What are the things that are hindering your harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times? You need to deal with those. You're hindering a move of God in your own life. God wants breakthrough. He yearns to be glorified in your situation. He yearns to be with you in the highs and lows. So what about you? What do you want? You want the same outcome or a breakthrough? Do you want the kingdom of God to be established and fulfilled in your situation? Well, hey, if you want breakthrough, then let's give the control over to God. Let's pray. And let's trust the promises of Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Let's pray. Pray right now, Lord, that whoever is here in this space right now or online, if there is an ounce of conviction, I pray that you would meet them with such grace. You would meet them with such comfort. And I pray that that revelation of the significance of the seeds is what changes lives. But in order to believe in those seeds, we need to give control over to you. Take this opportunity right now as I'm praying. If you're sitting there and you really want to get that breakthrough, then I'd encourage you to reach out and say, God, Jesus, I invite you into the situation. And be honest. Be honest. I also want to give a moment for those that, hey, maybe came here expecting something a wee bit different at a church service and maybe have an understanding of religion. I would say that I am not a religious person by any means. I have a relationship with Jesus, inspired by love, and maybe you don't. And maybe today is a day that you want to know Jesus personally. I'd love to pray with you. Every great meaningful relationships in life begin with conversation. Prayer is conversation. And if I'm speaking to you and you've not reached out to Jesus before and want to know him personally, you pray this simple prayer. You can borrow my words. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I pray that you forgive me. And I ask that you help forgive myself. From this day forward, I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.